The meeting is called to order.
Can you tell us the date and the time?
The date is July 7th, 2020. It's 8 a.m. and this is the July meeting of the Improvements Committee.
Thank you.
All right. Any hands up for comments, Amelia? I guess that means no, so we'll move on to reviewing the monthly updates. Paul?
Items that have occurred past month of note at the water storage at the Chesbro Reservoir. As you can see in the packet provided, if you scroll down, Amelia, there's a photo of the buoys that were just installed and they were just cut promptly thereafter so people could go in and fish over our aeration. Again, the importance of the aeration is it's there for oxidizing iron and manganese as part of our treatment process. And that's why we had the buoys around there to protect it. And you can see how people really want to fish in there and even to the point of vandalism. So we're working on putting a CCTV system out there to monitor it, as well as we've been in contact with our security staff to increase patrol out there in desk times to make sure that this doesn't happen again. Unfortunately, it's still cut as of now. Staff should be out there fixing it this week. And we don't believe there's any damage to our aeration system as of yet, but we have to double check that. So far, our iron and manganese tests coming into the plant are very low. So hopefully there's no issues going on there with that. At water plant number one, effluent pump replacements, that project's now complete. Everything's been installed and tested. And so that project is complete and we could sign off on payment of that project. On the water rights renewal, there's nothing really going on with that. It's kind of in a stasis right now. It's been sent back to the consultant at Wagner and Bonsignore to review the information I provided back to them. And they're just saying, you know, even if we submit everything right now, it may be years and years before the state even gets to looking at that petition renewal. So that's where that's at right now. Recycle water and untreated water fees study, that's a to-do for me to coordinate with Mr. Sullivan as a member of the Cosumnes Irrigation Association to discuss what his concerns are regarding costs and usage of the CIA. On the chlorine gas to sodium hypochlorite conversion, we've ordered a lot of specialty piping that is chemically resistant to the bleach that will be used, and it's a very strong bleach. It's 12.5% in strength, whereas where you get it from the store, it's about 5%. So we're installing new piping between the tanks and over to the chemical feed systems. And that's being worked on as staff has time in between water leaks and drainage issues, et cetera. At the West DAF electrical panel replacement, that seems pretty much wrapped up as of yesterday. You can see in the photo provided, there's the new panel that's tied into an HMI system. When I say HMI, it's a human machine interface where there's a touch screen and programming that was completed as part of this installation where staff can control the facilities there for the start and start of pumps and timers. And there's also manual controls within the panels as well. And there were some bugs and issues. And as of yesterday, it looks like maybe that was wrapped up. Staff's firing up that side of the plant this morning to test everything out again to make sure it works. On the dam inundation mapping and emergency action plans, as of yesterday, I have an update that Sacramento County Sheriff's Department is supposed to be reviewing those right now. Apparently, we're the first jurisdiction in Sacramento county that has submitted these. And so they're not sure what to do because it's a new process for everyone. And so Sac County Sheriff saying that they've got a lot of competing priorities as well. And this is kind of low hanging fruit for them. However, our consultant is pinging on them to please get it done so we can wrap it up. And that's where that's at. And then moving on to the development projects, there's not a lot of updates from this past month. There's work continuing out there, but not a lot of work as it relates to district infrastructure. And when I say district infrastructure, that's the water, sewer, and drainage connections underground for the most part. So with the Highway 16 offsite improvements, Dane Schilling of Coastland was continuing to work with the developer on agreement for the Bel Air signs that was installed over the CIA easements on lots 4 and 5, which is directly across from the Bel Air site. Looks like all the utilities are done there. They're going vertical or starting to, I guess, with pads and building there, but nothing related to district utilities. Same thing with lots 10, 11, and Murrieta Gardens 1 and 2 infrastructure. At the FAA Business Park, which is at the end of Cantova Way, again, nothing related to district infrastructure, but they're reporting that approximately, this was a week old, so 5 weeks from now, they may be submitting for permits for water sewer to become active. On the residences of Murrieta Hills East, from my understanding that, we've conveyed as a district what the obligations are to that property. But my understanding is our general manager, Tom Hennig, is continuing discussions with Mr. Kyle as it relates to his concerns on that property and what he's looking to do there. On the Riverview project, that project is active and they've submitted a complete package of information for review. And there's been discussions even up to late yesterday where they're looking to have us work in conjunction with Sacramento County to get the drainage review study done as soon as possible. We had discussed with Sac County that Sac County would review it and then submit information to us, and then we would do a low impact development review and some design information double check. And the project saying that Sacramento County is going to take 3 months for the initial stage review. So they're requesting as of last night that we as a district provide review in conjunction to expedite the process as they would like to begin grading before winter hits. So we need to further discussions on that internally. And as well with Sacramento County and the developer as to what they want to do with that. And that's where that's at. Any questions on any of those items? Any hands, Amelia?
No hands.
I don't know. This is John Sullivan. I don't know how to raise my hand on my phone.
Yeah, the people that are on their phone, it's a little awkward, isn't it? That's why I unmuted you, John.
We sent in the indemnity agreement on the sign, the one that was revised by council and executed it and sent it in last week. I'm hopeful that you all have it.
Do we have that, Tom?
We do, but we're reviewing it, and then we'll take it to the next step.
Okay.
Was that the one with the easements, Amelia?
Yeah, that's the hold harmless agreement. Yes, John?
It's not the easement. It's the hold harmless on the sign on parcel 4 for the the Bel Air Monument sign that's in the CIA easement?
That's the one that I'm reviewing.
Okay. It was altered and sent to us by Dick Shanahan through Coastland and executed by CIA and MMA and sent back. I'm assuming you have it. If you don't have it, I'll get Cindy to...
We have it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah, we totally have it.
Paul, what are your thoughts about this, them Riverview requesting us to work, concurrently with the county on this review? Seems like we've got in trouble with this in the past, and we deliberately decided that we weren't going to go down this path again. That we were going to make the county the lead agency, and we were just going to double check what they've done. What are we thinking, and how do we go forward? Does the board need to get involved in this? And because this is really a more of a procedural question than anything else, right?
Yeah. So the board does not need to get involved in it at this point. Sac County is the lead agency, but our next step is going to be have a conference call with Sacramento County review staff and the developer, and to see what it is we can do to help facilitate expedition of the review process. You know, if we reviewed something and had conflicting ideas with Sacramento County, obviously that would just waste time and money for the developer. That's something I conveyed in a phone conversation to the developer engineer last night. That's why we looked to do it in a stepped process, so that we wouldn't have a double billing of sorts for doing the same review. However, the developer's engineer is saying that they're looking to have this expedited and to do whatever is possible to have that expedited. So we're going to have a phone conversation to start that off and then go from there.
I guess the biggest issue there is we need to have enough money up front, enough deposit down for our work, that we don't get behind in billings. That's been an issue in the past. Is that how you're seeing it?
Yeah, and there's no issue with that project. They're ahead on their deposit monies, so everything's okay as it relates to that right now.
And this is for the drainage plan is for their entire project, right? It's not just the house Correct. That they're getting started on.
Correct.
Gotcha. Okay. Any other questions for Paul? If not, let's move on to the pedestrian bridge parcel conveyance. Lori?
Hello, everybody. Glad you're having a good day. Brief note on this. We have ordered a title report. Because this is considered to be a special project, like a special site, it goes through a little bit longer process to get that. So we don't expect that until middle of this month, so probably next week. Once we get the title report, we will course review it, and we will also forward it to RMA to review. And I also noted in this memo that John Sullivan had emailed us a week or so ago, maybe to note that there was a possible encroachment on that property. Title report should list, you know, all easement encroachments. So once we get that, we'll be able to better evaluate John's item, and we'll also have to reach out to RMA anyway to get their concurrence on it And then once they're good with it, district council will prepare a grant deed and we'll go to the board for approval. So that's where we stand on that. There's a little more detail in my memo. If anybody has any specific questions for me, I can answer them.
Questions for Lori? Comments? CID, CIA ditch has been through that property forever. I can't imagine that it wasn't addressed originally and it'll show up again.
Exactly.
John?
Yeah, this is John again. Anytime that there's an open irrigation channel over property, the easement is understood by anybody who ends up acquiring the property. But that easement is 40 feet wide, and as you know, where it goes through the bridge is, I don't know, either a 36 or a 42 inch culvert. So two things probably ought to happen. Number one is there ought to be, if there wasn't at the time, that culvert is high in relationship to the flow of the water, and that ought to be looked at by CIA's engineer. And secondly, I think we ought to do what we did on the gardens, is we shrink the 40-foot easement down to what's absolutely necessary as it goes across the bridge. Otherwise, there's an easement that the bridge structural is sitting, you know, in the CIA easement. I don't think long term that's a good idea. So we can just, in that window where the bridge is, whatever that width is, abandon the 40-foot easement and then describe it properly and record that. That's the process we went through on the gardens, and that way, you know, CIA and the district and RMA acknowledged what's there.
Sure. Lori, this is Tom Hennig. Lori, were you involved when they shrunk down the easement, like John's talking about, with the gardens project?
That was a different case a little bit, because in the gardens project, they were doing a development, and as part of that development, they put a portion of the CIA ditch in a pipeline, and when they did that, they shrunk the easement in part to accommodate that development. And I was not involved in the beginning portion of that. I was at the end, as they were wrapping up construction and, you know, the last few years on the Murrieta Marketplace project. So I am familiar with what John's talking about. Here, there's no development project. It's a piece of land that exists. We're not proposing any construction on the bridge. All we're doing is taking a piece of land that the district owns, that my understanding, was always going to be conveyed to RMA, and conveying it. So there's no project per se, as there was with the Marketplace project and shrinking of that easement. So what John's talking about, I'd have to look at it, but it certainly makes it a little bit more complicated of a project than simply taking a piece of land and conveying it from the district, you know, to RMA.
So John, do you recall when the bridge was being built, were the easements addressed?
The conversation happened between myself and Dick Brandt, who was the district legal counsel, that needed to be addressed, and it never was. I have no CIA record, and I don't think the district has any record that CIA adjustment to the easement wasn't addressed at the time. And I don't think it'll show up on the title report, but I don't think it's a good policy to have a 40-foot easement where you've got a bridge foundation. you know, 100 years from now, it could cause some confusion.
Let's wait before we see the title report with the maps. That's what we'll get, right, Lori? We'll get a very clean map.
The title report will just simply list all encroachments. If you want a map that shows the bridge footings overlapping on the easement, that might require a survey. Unless such map already exists, I've not seen one. Maybe there's old record drawings or as-built that shows that pedestrian bridge when it was built and the easement, and we could look at that. Paul, do you know if the district has records of that? I have not.
I don't have any plans on the pedestrian bridge at all. I believe RMA has all that information.
So that's where we'd have to get that. The title report will not give you a map, Tom. It might give you something very simple. It'll just simply list the land and all the areas where there's encroachments on it, you know.
Okay. Well, why don't we just proceed as planned and let CIA Ditch work with the RMA to modify the easement after the...
No, you can't wait till they end up with the ownership of it. You got to resolve this now.
Tom, let's, as you said, let's proceed to get where we need to be, and then we'll talk about it again. I know where the plans are, and if we need to, I think it's a discussion to be had with our attorney, whether or not there's a problem having a 40-foot easement through there with a structure. I don't know. There's lots of things being built in easements, and I get your point, John. But for right now, let's just proceed. Get the title report and see what it says, and go from there.
Okay.
One thing you did say, John, was you might have to have your engineer look at the. I wasn't quite clear what you're saying. Looking at the size of the culvert to make sure that it's.
No, I think the size. It goes through there is fine. It just may be under really low flow. It just, the flow line may just be too high or higher than it would be if we were laying it in there without any, any concrete poured around that. That's all concrete around there. Is it all the way through, Randy, or is it just at the sides?
It is it goes through the wing walls, and the wing walls are
okay.
Yeah. So there's okay. The culvert is backfilled with dirt, and it's just the ends that are concrete.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Any questions on that? So this may take a little bit longer than what you thought, Lori, if we discuss this with the attorney and everyone agrees that now is the time to screw with the size of these easements, but let's take it one step at a time and take a look at what the title report says.
That's fair.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good. So we're moving on to the extension of Coastland Engineering contract. Paul, is this your item?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
So, it's been found out that the contract for Coastland's engineering services had expired, and so to ratify the payments that we've had to Coastland since it's expired, we wanted to get board approval for that, as well as to extend the contract to April 2021 with Coastland until we could go out to bid again, as we've got active work obviously with Coastland right now. That's long and the short of it. Any questions on that?
So do we need to have a recommendation to the board.
Yes, we need to take this to the board for formal approval.
Okay, and this
my limit.
Okay, and this is this has been looked at by our attorney. He's made a couple of recommendations as far as language, and this is just to get us through to at some point where we're going to put this out for referral or a bids. Although I don't know. Do you remember last time, Paul, did we get more than just Coastland's proposal, or
we did
sole source thing?
I believe we had four bidders last time.
Okay. All right. And so this gets us through April 21, 2021. So we should start the process to get new proposals this fall. Would that be the schedule?
Absolutely. Yeah. That would be it.
Okay. John, I know you you had a comment or two on this subject. Did you want to say something here?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Well, I was asked after we discussed this previously for adjustments and consideration on items. I sent that to Tom and I sent that to Lori as requested. But I think I object to the ratification of what's been paid since we're in dispute to the tune of well over 200 items between the two bills that were paid. And I wouldn't have any problem ratifying it after that all gets resolved. But if you ratify it, I what are you ratifying? That they billed you correctly under the contract or I just, man, you don't have an agreement with us, okay, for observation, and you have a contract with them that includes construction observations. So the district's got a big hole in their dollars and cents that go out to Coastland if strict contract administration is adhered to. All those construction observations are billed and paid by the district and not collectible from the developers.
John, this action has nothing to do with your protest. It has to do with the accounting process here at the district. Once we identify, this is Tom Hennig, by the way, once we identified that our contract had lapsed, we need to formally go through the process of the board accepting the fact that we paid Coastland. This is not involving your protest. Your protest is an entirely different subject. What we need to do.
Okay, well, as long as that's on the record, Tom, I'm good with, you know, what's going on. I do think that the consideration for virtual inspections and other things getting cleaned up are important, but you know, I'm satisfied if you tell me it has nothing to do with our protest and will not influence it in any way.
That is the case.
Okay, so this is just an extension of the contract with Coastland, and we're not agreeing to any payments at this time. Or is that that's what you just said, right, Tom?
Yeah, this is just you know, once you identify a problem, you address it. So we're making the contract right again, and we're asking the board to approve the fact that we made payments to Coastland while we were not under a contract. It's just. It happens in government too often, unfortunately, but when you find a problem, you need to fix it, and that's what we're doing. So we want to take this to the board. We're asking for your approval to take it forward to the board to make this right, and then at the same time, we'll begin the process of putting together a bid package for engineering services beyond April of 2021.
Great. I approve of the extension, and I've got no problem with taking this to the board for the next board meeting. As to the protests of the Billings, I know we're gonna start and try and get everybody into one room and go through this and try and resolve it. But I have to make this comment. I started in construction straight out of college as an inspector, first for the Army Corps of Engineers and then for Caltrans. And I did a lot of observing, but I never called it observing. It was always inspection. I was an inspector, and that's what I did. And I guess I don't get the difference or see the terminology as being different between observing and inspection. I see it as one and the same. And I'll leave it there because hopefully we can get this resolved without too many noses being bloodied. Anything else on this item? Pardon me?
Nobody's raised their hand.
Great, thank you. Let's move on to the detention basin discussion. It says developer discussion. Is that who's leading this off?
I'll chime in, Randy. This is Tom Hennig. There was an incident that's described in this document from John Sullivan related to the CIA ditch. And at the very early onset of the COVID stay-at-home order, I believe, and John, I'll just talk for a second and I'll let John take over, but I believe they took advantage of the fact that there was little to no traffic on Lone Pine Drive, and they went ahead and repaired the CIA ditch pipe. And as part of that, they asked us to adjust how the CIA ditch would operate. It's a pretty complex system that involves, you know, just minor slopes of water going downhill. And I'll let John take it from there. It's kind of an interesting scenario that we have to take a look at. Go ahead, John.
So it appeared that because of the restrictions at the equestrian center and the low traffic we were experiencing on Lone Pine Drive, that we decided that at the end of April, it was probably, if we could figure it out a time in between the irrigations at the ranches, that we would try to do the repair of the irrigation pipe that runs under Lone Pine. That's, we thought it was a 36 inch pipe. It turned out to be a 36 inch pipe. So on into the first week of May, I talked to Paul about, you know, getting the ditch adjusted, shutting off the flow to the ranches and opening up the flow into Laguna Joaquin to give some freshening to the lake. They're in that season where there's lots of evaporation in the lake. So the lake levels start dropping if we're not feeding it above and beyond their licensed right for irrigation. So we made a series of adjustments. We thought that by Monday, after we turned the flow up, because we were running at 1.0, which is about 25 acre feet a day, we were going to drop that to 5 or 6, which would be basically half of that. So there'd be about 12 acre feet a day. It'd bring up the lake about 6 inches a day. And that those changes were made on Friday. On Monday, the Laguna Joaquin wasn't spilling. So I drove around and found out that the outfall at Laguna Joaquin wasn't opened sufficiently to take the flow. And so all the flow that came down the ditch, which was, you know, 12 times three, four, maybe 4 million gallons a day, had backed up, filled the pipe, the 42-inch pipe, and went back up the, when we backwalked it, we found that where there was an old diversion box, an old concrete diversion box on the ditch that is in the easement, but it's in the park area. It was overflowing. Water was overflowing there into the park, and then it was meandering through the park, and then I provided some pictures of where it ended up going back into the detention basin. So there was a lot of water in the detention basin, and there was a lot of water between the park and the detention basin, and there was some erosion on the side of the detention basin sides from the about I calculated about 8 or 9 million gallons of water over the course of Saturday and Sunday. As soon as we got all the adjustments made to the ditch, the drainage basin cleared up within 36 hours. And so really no harm, no foul, other than there potentially some silting into the basin from the sidewalls. And I just provided the incident report because it basically demonstrates that, you know, when you look in those pictures, the ones that Jeff provided and the ones that I provided, you'll see that, you know, 9 million gallons of water doesn't raise the level of the basin very much. So, you know, everything worked fine from the standpoint of there not being a real catastrophe for having 9 millions of gallons of water go someplace. It went the best place it could possibly go. So I just wanted to make sure that we provided the details, and that was kind of an information only thing. And there's a couple pictures in there of the flow. That's the flow where it flowed out of the CIA ditch and into the basin. It kind of took that route. And it shows the basin, and it shows where the spill point was. I marked it on global GPS so that we could all go backtrack it there. And pictures of the reduced flow at Granley's. But as you can see from these pictures, the basin is well vegetated at this point, and doing its job. That's all I had. Didn't want to. There's no real action to take right now. It's just informational.
Any potential consequences? I get it that you want to get on record as to what happened. What you see any possible future consequences of this, John?
No. Well, when we get to mowing down everything, you know, we started all of this stuff was vegetated through seed. You know, the stuff on the highway was wildflower mix. All the stuff around the basin was a prescribed mix. There was 15 feet wide of special seed over the perforated pipe. The rest of the basin was vegetated, and if you go out there now, you'll see, you know, a foot and a half to 2 foot of variety of native grasses and things growing there. So the basin is, you know, acting in its water quality capacity. But when we mow it all down, I think we'll have to take a closer look at where, you know, where the water was spilling over and make sure we don't have to get that cleaned up a little bit. We finished some work down in the basin before this incident to get water from the infall to the perforated pipe. And there's still a couple of items on the coastline list that they'd like to see done before they would agree to accept the basin. We'd we are happy. We prefer to keep the basin maintained by us during the rest of this year and probably all of next year, while parcels 9 and 10 and 11 get developed, because it acts as our water quality basin. You know, we have to have water quality testing at the outfall there. And so we're, you know, we're good with keeping the basin maintained and operated.
All right. Tom and Paul, anything further on this?
No, not for me.
I would just like to make sure, this is Tom, I would like to make sure that as we convey the ditch from John's company to the district, that anything happened here doesn't come back to bite us. I'm, you know, John, you mentioned that the 6-inch perforated pipe may have been compromised through this process, and I want to make sure that that is not the case, that it was installed to the point where a little bit of silt or a lot of silt going on top of it was not going to compromise the function of the pipe. So I want on record to confirm that there's not going to be a case made in 2 years that there's something we have to do or that's not going to be done as we convey the whole ditch or the retention basin to the district.
Is it observable? Can Coastland go out there and poke around and take some pictures and see it, or is this something that's or is that thing buried enough to where it's where you can't do that?
You know, sorry to interrupt, Randy, but you know, this is the, I don't want to get into the same issue we took with the box, you know, where we all went out one day while the backhoe revealed there's a leak 3 feet down. So can we confirm that everything is operable and there's not going to be any case at the end of the day that we're going to disagree on something, John?
From my standpoint, the basin's operating just fine. I just want to make sure that when we get a chance and get all the weeds out of the way, we take a look at that side slope where that water, you know, that water rolled through there for over 2 days. So just want to take a look, make sure we don't have anything. We'll point that up or bring Andrew or somebody out to take a look when we get it all mowed off over there.
Okay, that works.
Sounds good. Okay, so we are to director and staff comments, suggestions. Staff, anything further?
Not for me.
Any hands up, Amelia? No?
There are no hands up, no.
Okay, my hand is not up. I've said everything that I would like to say, so we are to adjournment, and the committee meeting is adjourned. Thank everybody for showing up this morning, and have a great week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.